light worker. Now is the time to make a much bigger impact in the world. You are tuned to the Listen to Your Own Medicine podcast. This podcast will take you through a journey to return to your true purpose and awaken the authentic power of your soul. This podcast is for light workers who want to start using their own medicine from their heart and remember their true magic. It's time to live a fulfilling life full of joy and abundance. I'm your host, Vika Didvalene, founder of Satkara Temple, and I'm sharing my unique medicine to help you to find your authenticity and to bring it to this world. I believe that you came here to shine your light bright, and I'm inviting you to listen to your own medicine podcast to find the inspiration and teachings of how to bring your gifts and your light to this world. It's time to listen to your own medicine. I believe that you carry your unique medicine in your heart and you came here to share it. So let's get to it. Here we are. Hello, hello. Hi, Jemima.
Hi, Vika. How are you? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Welcome, welcome to Listen to Your Own Medicine podcast. And today we are recording beautiful, beautiful episode with Jemima about Ceremony Portal. So my invitation today would be, if you're not driving, to close your eyes and we will start connecting and allowing ourselves to create the space within our heart to receive energy, to receive the energetic exchange within us. So closing your eyes and starting to breathe, feeling the breath, feeling the beat of your heart. Allowing yourself to arrive to this moment, to this space, relaxing the shoulders, few more deep breaths. Bringing yourself back to the space and preparing to listen or watch, if you will be watching. Welcome, welcome, sister.
Thank you so much.
So I would like to introduce my beautiful sister, Jemima. It's a pleasure to have you here today to sharing your beautiful energy and connecting with all the listeners around the world. So Jemima is a shamanic practitioner, musician, sound healer, and spiritual guide with many years of experience in holding space for workshops, ceremonies, and retreats worldwide. In her work, she combines ancient practices from different spiritual traditions to guide and empower those who feel drawn to her vibration she carries. Beautiful. I feel her vibration, even, you know, saying those words and having her here today. It's a really, really special day. So thank you again for agreeing to be here and for choosing to share your beautiful, beautiful soul with us, with me and the listeners of the podcast. And today on this episode, I want really to dive into the ceremony portal. What is the ceremony, how we see it, what it means to you, how I see it, because we both spend a lot of work and energy in a ceremony, so life becomes a ceremony. So we would like to share out loud to the people around the globe and to understand what it is, why we would need it in our lives, and how to start implementing it. And what is actually a ceremony portal? Why we say it's a portal? What happens in the ceremony? But before we're gonna dive into all this, I would like Jemima to share a little bit about herself, where she is at now and how her journey started. And just we're really curious to hear that, because I feel this, at some point we have all the social media podcasts and it's so much access to the information, and we put out ourselves into all those platforms, and sometimes it gets overwhelming, but at the same time it is such a gift to be able for us to connect worldwide. You know, we are not limited to the one space wherever we are at on the earth, and then people have to travel or they have to come. But actually we can share our hearts, we can share our energy and allow others to tune into the frequency and to feel the resonance. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to hear more about you and to connect with you today.
Oh, thank you so much for that beautiful introduction, for having me here. Thank you for, I know you are traveling properly these days on a on a boat, right? So
yeah,
I know that it might be a little bit a challenge to organize things like that. So I appreciate you anchored somewhere and
I wanted to say that we recording this episode while I'm in Mallorca in Spain, and we anchored close to the island to get the good reception. And I was planning to do it outside, but then the day starts and boats start passing, so yeah, it's better inside. So we're becoming those world citizens, isn't it? And it's beautiful, at the same time it's challenging. So
exactly. So I'm actually at the moment I'm at my mom's house, and she's in the countryside of Germany, and I've been here now the third week. And for me, that's whilst I'm in Europe, that's kind of a record of staying in one place. Because I arrived from Brazil the beginning of April, and from that point on, I think I moved every week to a different place.
Wow.
And now I arrived here kind of 2.5 weeks ago, and it was really good to anchor. So I also anchored myself, grounding myself a little bit more in one place. And it's interestingly, it's during this time where there's a lot of festivals happening, and my family from Guatemala, the forest path in Peru, and you know, it's all these options of having FOMO, you know, fear of missing out.
Yeah.
But also, like, I'm really grateful that I gave myself this time for me, because there were also some health challenges that I had to look at. So I'm really grateful. You can only really do that when you are in one place a little bit longer and get to the good healers. And so, yeah, so I'm at my mom's, but I'm going to go off on Monday via Berlin to London and then to Ireland. So, yeah, that's where I am right now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And it's a lot. It's a lot. But it's beautiful, isn't it? I think it's so important to come back to your roots, to your homeland. And especially you have connection with your mom, and you have this opportunity to reconnect with her. So it's like recharging yourself in a way, because a lot of the time we're traveling to the places where we are called to, and we abandon in a way our home. So this opportunity, I think it's so, so nice for you to have. But like you said, 3 weeks, it's a record. So I bet you're starting getting itchy and okay, I'm ready to go now.
Yeah, I am, interestingly, and I have observed this in myself because when I'm here, I don't really do much of my own work. And this time I was kind of intentionally having a holiday because we had a few retreats before this. But I'm happy about this because it gives me inspiration and makes me feel alive to have this exchange. So I really feel thrive on having the tribe or tribe members, soul family members around and being able to talk about what we do. And so I'm very happy we are meeting in this way. And yeah, you asked some big questions about the start of my journey and ceremony. So it's a lot. So what would you
I
like to hear
know.
first?
Yeah. So I think, honestly, first of all, I would like I know I introduced you, but I think we all would love to connect to your heart and to see when your journey started. I know we start our journey from very early stage, but we're not aware a lot of the time, or we become aware in our childhood, and then most of us get a bit pushed into the conditioning and kind of abandon our true self. And then we experience some moments in life, and it's just, oh my God, this is who I am, and this is the journey, what I want to work and explore my deeper roots, my heart, and what to do, what I'm doing here really on this world, what is my purpose. So maybe just a few insights when your journey started and how it moved on and how it bring you where you are now. I know it's a lot, but just the moments what you would like to share, the key parts.
Yeah, that happened in London, actually. I was living in London, and I was a social worker there for children in care, maybe around 5 years altogether, and it was getting harder and harder, and I know that I felt it was really challenging for me to have enough distance. So I was quite attached to my young people that I was kind of responsible for in that, in this kind of social worker aspect. And it got to me, because you get close and then you feel like, ah, oh, it's hard, and sometimes I was even getting phone calls at the weekend and was kind of, I wasn't having enough distance from it. So, and during this whole time, whilst I was working as a social worker, I was also going out a lot, especially at the weekends and partying quite hard, and
Yeah, London
London
life. Been
life,
there.
exactly as we do. And I realized at some point that what I was doing at the weekend was numbing myself because I just didn't want to have feel that pain anymore, And I always felt I can't do enough for these young people. I spent a lot of time at the desk typing reports and so on, but I didn't have much time to spend with them individually. So there was a lot of guilt as well, and it was just everything was overwhelming. And at some point, I decided I need to leave the situation, and I also need to leave my relationship because that was also connected to this lifestyle of the clubs in London and so on. So I took myself off to India, and sometimes I laugh because it's such a cliche in a way, but I went off to India and I spent maybe I had been before, but this time it was without knowing how long and where I'm going and so on. So I spent maybe, I don't know exactly, 6 months or so, 7 months, and I attended my first yoga class in India, and I went to different ashrams and to a lot of temples and to just really exploring, really exploring what resonates. And then already I decided to cut down all the unhealthy things that I was involved on before and before. And that I did that, and I came back to London after all this time, but then moved back into this destructive behaviors a little bit. And then I realized also I went back into social work for a little while, and I realized this is like it's really I can't do it. It's totally overwhelming. But then was also okay, what then? What now? What now? And there was a moment of being quite lost, actually, and not really knowing what direction to take in my life. And then Kundalini Yoga found me. I'm sure many of us are aware of this,
Oh,
many of you,
beautiful.
Kundalini Yoga. Yeah. And I remember going to my first class and cycling down the hill in Crystal Palace. If you're from London, you know. And singing the Long Time Sunshine song and feeling so kind of elevated and happy after this Kundalini yoga class, that really showed me, oh God, there's so much more. And I need to go further into this and study this. And quite quickly, I became a teacher. And then I was just focusing on that, really, teaching classes, holding workshops, also retreats already. And then maybe after 2, 3 years, I heard about plant medicines, ayahuasca, and I was like, straight away, I knew there was so much for me there. And my ex-husband now and I went to Peru, I think it was in 2013. So that was the next kind of big opening. And especially after doing years of Kundalini yoga, which I started around 2010, and being so, being vegan, no alcohol, no coffee, no nothing. And then we went into this ayahuasca ceremony. And you can imagine, like, it blew me open totally. And there's no going back, once you open Pandora's box, once you see all this world, you can't unsee it. And then I knew I would really want to learn more about shamanism and go into more into this world. And for quite some time, I was combining my Kundalini yoga teaching with holding cacao ceremonies at retreats and learning more and also attending ceremonies kind of in different places and for different medicines. And so yeah, so that was kind of the main, there were many, many experiences on the way, of course, but this was kind of the peak events.
I just wanted really to actually honor you and what I noticed, because a lot of people in spiritual communities and our communities, we started with yoga. My journey was very similar. I went to India, I got those astral travels. I started working with a monk, working, well, he was teaching me yoga, and it just always escalated. And when you start implementing that discipline practice from yoga, being vegan, doing meditation, breath work, doing yoga, and then I think doing it in by year by year, and then suddenly plant medicine comes into your life. I feel like we never search. I feel like the medicine finds you, and when she finds you, she opens the different realms for you, and it says, okay, this is a time now for you to dive deeper, to explore the earth, to explore the shamanism, to explore what is happening, how you can connect with the earth, with the elements, how you can root yourself into this way. Because I notice that, well, I feel yoga is amazing. I still do yoga. I love this practice. It's but from the all the teachings, it's more about, connecting to the higher self, this meditation, this like really becoming a channel, a clean channel, just channeling the spirit. But I feel in the Indian practices, I know it happens when you do yoga naturally, of course, you connect to the earth, this is grounding practices, but they don't really speak about it that much, isn't it? And I feel like the plant medicine, it's a plant medicine, is a plant. It comes from the earth. It comes from the physical. It's the same as we are. So it's, I don't know, for me, it's like, oh, wow, it just makes so much sense. We all the same. We all, nature. And we start diving into it. So thank you for sharing that. I just wanted to echo this. And I just recently was thinking about how a lot of shamans and people who work with the medicine, ceremonialist people. Life started with yoga. And then plant medicine found a way to weave into their lives and explore this new, in the same way, old method, the way of living on this earth, so we can find full fulfillment and joy. I feel like it's more joy in life. It's more owning yourself, rooting yourself, and exploring, isn't it?
Yeah, first of all, I think it's very important to, for me, it was important to have this from the lifestyle that I had with going dancing, going clubbing, you know, like really doing that. It was really important for me to have the yoga first and go through with no substances to really look after my body, clear my body, and connect in that way. I'm so grateful I have this space before I went off to work with medicine. And I also observe in many people, they haven't had it this, they went from one to the other, and that can sometimes be a little bit tricky. So I'm really grateful that the universe guided me in that way, that okay, you can reach the same consciousness without any substances, simply through these meditation practices, through yoga, and so on. You know, and that was important for me to experience it. And then I could move on to those medicines that we are talking about. And I'm so grateful for them. And they have broken open many hearts and helped many, many of us to see beyond, you know, the physical realm. And which is very important, because we sometimes feel very limited in our humanness. And it's hard to, when we say, okay, everything is connected, everything is one. Yes, if we have never experienced it, but just talking about it, you will never know. You will. That's what I feel, you know. There needs to be the experience, which can be, of course, through deep meditation as well. The medicines really help us to see, oh, wow, we are everything and nothing at the same time. And this is so powerful.
Yeah.
And you can't go back from that once you have experienced this once, you know.
Yeah. It's it opens your subconscious, your conscious mind. And when you start embodying that feeling and start living it, and there is no way back, as you said, and this is the beauty of it. And the way the medicine, I love the way medicine guides us, always comes, you know, to your life. I don't know, maybe some people search for the medicine and try all different things, and like you said, then, you know, people use the substances and then move to the medicine. And I witness, you know, as well, when people just get obsessive about the medicine because they felt it, and then it just goes, like, you know, almost like from one addiction to another, isn't it? So it's important to clean our bodies, to clean our consciousness, to clean ourselves, to acknowledge attachments, you know, the patterns, to change them in a way so we create the space for new medicine to show us a way of living, to remind us in a way, you know, because we were walking that remembrance journey, coming back to the heart, coming back to who we are, shedding the layers of this, you know, programming, you know, what we've been taught at school and what we have to do in life. And like, you know, many years ago, if probably to your grand, I don't know, if I would say to my grandnan, or maybe grandad would understand, because I'm from Lithuania, so it's very pagan country in Europe. And we were the last country who gave up Christianity. So for us, it's really deeply rooted, that connection to the earth, you know, all the equinoxes and, you know, celebration. And it's important. So, but most of us, we know that we have to go to college, you know, finish university and then go to work, get that family, and then just live that box. And then we discover that there's so much more for us to experience, to enjoy, and we don't have to be like anybody else. And we can't, because we all carry unique DNA. And then the beauty just starts unfolding every day, like wow, it just like life is just so beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with having that job and having this family and that house if that's what you wish
Exactly.
for and that's your dream. But
Yeah.
as you said, it's a programming that some of us don't even question. And then
Yeah.
many find themselves in the midlife crisis, right? So mid-40s or
Yeah.
so, and they kind of thinking, ah, this is it. I'm not quite sure about this, you know. Like,
Yeah.
I've done now the career, I've done the kids, and the kids are off to university. And now I'm here, and who am I? Like, I'm just not really listening to my own soul and what my own soul is
Yeah.
whispering into my ear, right? So that's why you have so many people struggling around that time, you know, because then it's suddenly maybe a moment to, okay, hang on a minute, who am I? And am I really doing what I want to be doing? And it's actually very exciting and to see how this is a time of
Yeah.
awakening in a lot of us. And yeah, it's always beautiful. And you know, also we have a certain lifestyle that other people possibly think they could never do or they wouldn't want to do, and that's totally okay.
Yeah. Of
And
course.
also it's a long journey to kind of living like this as well. And I think we
Yeah.
have to sometimes be careful not to judge as well, because everybody is on their own soul's journey.
Of
And
course,
you know,
of
so
course.
sometimes us spiritual people can maybe come across a little bit like, oh yeah, we have done all the medicines, we know it all, and you should be doing this, you know. So we
Right.
have to be a bit careful to just see it. You are where you are, and that's beautiful. And if you have any questions or you feel you're getting curious about what we are up to, we are here to share. But I feel sometimes one gets maybe into a bit of a preaching, you know, because we want everyone
Yeah.
to awaken and feel better. But it's like it's there. If their soul has chosen to study polarity a little bit longer or density, then that's totally fine, you know.
Yeah.
And have to
Yeah,
remind ourselves
because,
sometimes as well.
yeah. Yeah, because I think we get at the same time so excited about this, you know, feeling this goodness, and you instantly want, oh my God, I want you to have it, you know. But when you have to remind yourself, well, it's not for me to choose the way of life, you know, it's like we all have our own paths, and it's so important to walk and honor it and to respect. And, you know, and of course, we all have different friends, you know, and family, and I'm honoring whatever journey they are at. You know, not everybody has to live this life as we are living. It's not for everybody, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful when people honoring and enjoying life. I think then it gets a little bit challenging when people living life, but they're not actually living. They're just bypassing, you know, it's like bypassing of life, not feeling full of joy. And I feel this is what I was doing for a lot, most of my life before, you know, this journey to India. And I feel like I was on survival mode, because I had my daughter when I was really young, and then my husband passed away, and then it's just, oh my God, I have to give her perfect family, this like standard, you know. Obviously I wanted her to have this, but the way I put myself into frame, like the family has to be like, you know, a husband, a wife, and she's gonna be happy. I forgot the main thing, that I have to be happy first. I just literally blocked everything and followed this whatever picture I had in my programming mind, and in my programmed mind. And it really was, you know, at the same time, a lot of drive to be successful, to do things, and I always like to create, but it just was like,
never experiencing the joy, the fulfillment in the heart, what you can reach, you know, in a ceremony, when you can allow yourself be vulnerable, when you see all those dark sides of yourself and you understand that it's okay to be that. You stop judging yourself so much, you know, you release those walls, and they're just like, oh my God, it's so good, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you for sharing. And you know, life can be easy, but generally we all have a lot of challenges, and some of us have chosen on a soul level to have heavier challenges or quite traumatic experiences. Like you, thank you for sharing, you lost your husband, you know, and with having a child, this is a difficult experience, of course, you know, and I'm sure many of our listeners can relate, and there have been things that were difficult to deal with at the time, but it's like you have said it beautifully, you know, from that wounding, or there the light can enter. Rumi says it so beautiful, the wound is where the light enters, right? And we have all these challenges, and there is a lot of shadow, and we are maybe confronted with a lot of darkness at the moment, we feel that way. But it's always, there's so much to learn and transform and transmute. And to when you really reflect back on many of these things that happened, often you come out of it brighter, and more joyful and more empowered. And of course, you know, you maybe have made peace with something, or you said, okay, I'm fully accepting this. I'm grateful for an illness because it made me change my ways, and I see now what is important. And when we can really reflect on all of these things, usually we come out of the other end and we say, wow, I'm actually grateful this happened for me, right? That's what we say, for me and not to me. And when we are in the midst of it all, and if we feel there's no way out, and we feel very helpless, and it's difficult to see it that way. But there's all this too shall pass. It's always so nice as well. Yeah. You know, it's like it will get better. If you find yourself in a difficult time right now, it will get better. And you will come out stronger and more empowered. And I always love, you work with the goddess. You just do some training in Glastonbury, right? Yeah. So I always like to mention the dark goddess archetypes. And what I understand that they would go into the underworld, right? So for example, Persephone or Inanna or Hecate or Kali, Isis, you know, they all have in common, they would go into the underworld for, I think it's around 3 days. And usually they would also have to make a sacrifice, right? So they leave something there, or there's some kind of deal made there. But they come out and they're more empowered. They can hold more light. They can really stand on their own and say no and set boundaries and be that fierce goddess. Because sometimes we think about the goddess and we think about, you know, Mother Mary and Lakshmi and all this kind of, and of course, it's much part of it, but also like own your power and your fierceness and your rage. If it's there, it's also very important to own that, all of it. Because sometimes people ask me, oh, you just say focus on the light, on the love, and you ignore everything else. I said, no, not at all. I really go there, you know, and when I do my work, I take people there, but from a in a different way, so they can also see all that darkness, all the shadow that is in every one of us, because we're humans, and that's what humans are, belongs to humans, right? As same as the light and the love. And I take you there to your own inner darkness and your shadow, but from a place of love and compassion, and to really see this shadowy part of you. What is it and what does it need? It usually needs love and needs to be held and not to be made wrong and feel ashamed about or guilty, right? So so thank you. So it's really like, this is the beauty of this kind of work that we are both involved in, to work with the light and work with the shadow, and know that it's both equally important and beautiful, you know.
Thank you for sharing. It's This is such a deep work, isn't it? When we start talking, it's just, oh, we're just gonna catch up and share a little bit, and then it just like expands to limitless, realms, and it's really, really beautiful. The most, I'm so happy to see, I'm in my 40s, probably you in your 40s as well, and as much time, when we spend, we travel and I see you spend a lot of time in Guatemala. I did as well. And I see all those beautiful souls, within young people in these days, when we have all the access, we have all the access to explore themselves. And of course, we are lucky enough to come, and travel to connect with different cultures. And now sometimes I say to my partner, I said, like, I don't think we had that, Well, of course, I was in the country when was ruined by Soviet Union, ruled by Soviet Union a lot of, along for a long time. So for us, to go and explore the world, there just was no opportunities. There was no even, I said, that never would come into my head that I can do that. I would travel in my dreams, but not. And like physical. So it's so beautiful to see how much more the world is awakening. We're stepping out from this city and understanding how we actually can work within ourselves. And the most amazing thing, I feel people understand that a lot of healing needs to be done within our souls to bring ourselves back to balance. Like you said, for you it was yoga, what was preparing, you to enter and go deeper and deeper. For some people there might be something else, and those deep, deep challenges at life, and they crack us open. Usually they crack our hearts open, then there is
Preparing yourself, but a ceremony is really can be anything from sitting together with a good friend, open sacred space. That means we are there present. We have maybe lit a candle. We have some incense. We can speak a little prayer to open the space, and that is a ceremony, right? It's kind of creating a sacred space. And then it can go all the way from huge ceremonies where there is plant medicine served and musicians and everything and indigenous people from different cultures. And but yeah, a ceremony is already like you can do a ceremony with yourself, of course, as well. Like you, I think you might have some cacao there. So when we make ourselves
Always.
cacao, our most favorite plant medicine that we work with from Guatemala. Then the making of the cacao, and that just the sitting down, sharing a little intention with it, that is the ceremony, right? That is the ceremony. And
It's thank you so much for pointing to this, because what I really wanted actually to, I have a lot of people who start noticing that there is something interesting happening, within ceremony, whatever we're doing, but still a little bit, sheltered because it's not what we know. When we enter those portals, it's like unknown, and the mind can't understand. If the mind can't touch it, see it, it's not there, isn't it? So it's the wall for us to cross. And I wanted to say that when we say prayer, especially people who come from Christianity, the prayer, I was raised in Christian traditions, but not like both in pagan and Christian. And prayer, I remember for me, it was, invitation is for everybody to listen for their own prayers, what comes from their hearts. It's not a scripted prayer. When people in Christianity have, prayer for Jesus, prayer for this, but of course it's all related to the better, whatever world. we tapping into prayer, what prayer we have in our hearts. If we're sharing the ceremony with our family, you know, if we drink cacao or drink tea or drink water, or just we sit in a circle with a family or friend, one friend, it doesn't have to be, like you said, the ceremony, it doesn't have to be wedding or, you know, plant medicine ceremony. I don't want people to see the word as ceremony as something, you know, what they can't access. Mm-hmm. We can have ceremony every day. And then we start weaving that ceremony into our lives. Because during the ceremony, we listen to the prayers of our heart and we start sharing it. If we drink cacao together, you know, I will honor you. I will call on the guides. Maybe if we want to go deeper, I will call on cacao spirit and ask her to help me and you to stay present, you know, to stay present, to own the moment, to accept. The acceptance is so important in our lives, because when we reject, of course, we create the resistance and then the energies doesn't flow. You know, we call on a piece of world. We asking for this moment, for the special moment when we feel that love in our heart to expand. When I look at the paintings behind your back, if people who will be watching this episode, it reminds me, it's like expansion of our hearts. It's like vibration. It just goes wider and wider and connects us all. And we live in this vibration. So this is the portal of the ceremony. And for each of us, I think it's going to be different. Maybe once we're going to sit in the ceremony and we suddenly acknowledge that little girl which wasn't held in a moment she needed to be held. Maybe, you know, we acknowledge that friend said something what was still sitting in our heart and still blocking us to feel that feeling. We think we're not allowed to do that. And it's just so many beautiful just moments to be vulnerable, to be happy, to feel joy, to share it. It's just, yeah, so I think this is a portal. It's not necessarily the portal to go dive into something with the, you know, direction and outcome. Because a lot of the time the mind comes in, so what I'm gonna get out of it? You know, what is it? What? And then you get so much more.
Yeah.
This is, you know, collective awakening, collective ceremony. I feel every time we sit in the ceremony, or even like the moment when we start forgetting, we start losing the ground, and then we remind ourselves to come back to heart, to come back to love, to choose from the heart. I think this is what ceremony teaches us, and then we implement the ceremony in our lives.
Yeah, that's very beautiful. Yeah, thank you. Also, you pointed to the hearts here that represent heart opening, as you said so beautifully. Yeah. And in ceremony, especially when we work with cacao, of course, their hearts are wide open. And if you have a group of people whose hearts are wide open, that means you feel instantly safe in this group. You feel you feel seen, you feel loved, you feel supported. And the most important thing for a ceremony is that it's a safe space and a sacred space, and that we treat it with a lot of care and respect. So when you now sit in a ceremony and you sit with these beautiful people with their hearts wide open, then it allows you to really relax, you know. You don't have to pretend to be somebody or to play some kind of role or wear a mask that we like to do when we are with people. It's like, no, this is my vulnerable, true, raw self. And you also know that it won't be judged. So when we hold circles, when I hold my ancestral prayer circles, for example, we work with the fire. And we invite everyone one at a time to come to the fire and share a prayer. And prayer, as you said so beautifully, some of us don't know how to pray or what is a prayer. Does it have to do with the church? And then it is really to come and connect with spirit. So when we have the fire, for example, in our ceremony, fire represents spirit, or the Mayans say it's the ear of God Goddess, right? So when you come there for your prayer, for example, you know that you will be heard and without any judgment. So sometimes people would share, participants would share very, very deep stuff. So there could be abuse, or something that they hold great guilt about is another one, or they use the fire to speak to their mother or their father, and maybe they have passed already, but you can still speak to their soul, right, to their spirit. So this is all a prayer, and it's really beautiful to connect in that way, and especially when you then have a circle around you that is holding space for you. And there we again have this notion of we are all connected. So there's one speaking a prayer with a fire, but you definitely will hear later in the sharing that at least five people will say, oh, thank you that you made this prayer and you had the courage to speak that truth, because it enabled me to do the same, or it really helped me to see a situation in a different light, in a different way. And it's absolutely magical to have a ceremonial space where we can be ourselves. I think that's what's the most important thing.
Yeah.
We can be ourselves, and we know it's held in a way by the facilitators, but also by everyone in the group, because we hold this together in a way that nobody needs to feel that they are not seen, or and everything is welcome in a way as well, because it's a reflection. It's a microcosm of the macrocosm. So a ceremony reflects exactly the whole of humanity. Somebody is holding the energies of grief, the next one of joy, the next one of guilt, shame, bliss, you know. So, and you get everything. So in the last ceremony, for example, we had one girl screaming at the fire, screaming at the fire through the fire to her mom, who has struggled with addiction since this participant was young, and addiction and depression. And she screamed at the fire how much it affected her entire life, and she needed to just get it out. She, all that was built up in her needed to come up and out, and we just sat and hold space for it, just listening, nothing else. There's no response needed, you know. You just sit calmly and hold space, and so she can go through it and release that into the fire that had built up in her, all this frustration, that not feeling safe, not feeling seen. And she kind of rewrote that whole story, because in that moment she was seen and she was loved and she was supported, you know. It's very magical and it's very powerful. It's always very touching for me to be in circles like this, because then we see what humans are capable to a lot, but they are mainly capable to deeply love and have deep empathy. And sometimes we forget it because we see the opposite, and we maybe focus on it a bit too much because the news are bombarding it with all this negativity and so on. So it's sometimes maybe we lose hope in or faith in humanity a little bit. But then when you sit in a ceremony in a circle like that, you're like, ah, we are okay.
I know that feeling, like, oh my God.
Yeah,
it's very beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. I really want to echo to this experience and the fire. It's really the era of the gods, and this is, I'm forever grateful, Mayan, you know, wisdom keepers, and for reminding me how to speak with the fire, how to bring the ancestors, how to understand. And it's just so much healing what we can have in a ceremony. And sometimes even if not something drastic, you know, happens, but still it shifts our energy in completely different level. We elevate our soul healing. We bringing that soul back into the balance with ourselves. We start walking that path, feeling strong, you know, having those boundaries, which you mentioned before, which, you know, when we don't know what we're doing, we lose that balance. We kind of start shifting a little bit, and then the life, oh, I don't like it. And then we start like just kind of bypassing again So fire is really, really strongest medicine for a lot of us. And we met when I invited you to take a part on cacao apprenticeship, which was so beautiful. Thank you so much. And I just wanted to really, I don't think I shared it in public, maybe in the group of friends, but how this all started. It's last year, Tata Walter, he was my cacao teacher from the Lake Atitlan came to Ibiza last year, and then I went to see him there, and they were holding fire ceremonies. And I think it's on the third or second day in a fire ceremony, I had such a deep ancestral healing. I had such a release and cry, and I felt all the possible feelings, what I was not allowing myself to feel generations before me. And it was so strong. And next day I sat by the fire and I started receiving all the downloads about this course. I opened my notebook and I wrote everything down. It's like, why I'm doing this, I'm not doing that, I don't know why. It's just like, when the mind comes in. But everything what happened after this big healing, ancestral healing, what my soul needed to come into balance, to come into that connection and receive this beautiful gift, this guidance, what I need to share with the world. So thank you so much for trusting and joining and teaching and sharing your medicine in the course, which we will do another round this year, and we start October 22nd. And I'm so grateful to have you on this apprenticeship as a teacher, and the feedback, the girls are still messaging, and oh, Jemima was the best. I was going through the chat and so many messages. I need to share them with you actually. So thank you so much again for doing everything you do. And I wanted to invite you to share what you've been up to, what's happening, what are your plans for the end of this year, 2023, what maybe you have plans for 2024, because I'm sure people looking for the ways to connect with you. You're in this in Europe now, you're gonna fly probably somewhere else. Do you know? Or you're staying here? I don't know. Let's give us a little bit like excitement and something what we can look forward to connect with your beautiful medicine, what you're sharing. Thank you, sister.
I have one more retreat planned this year. So this one was the first year where I offered retreats again. I used to do them when I was a Kundalini yoga teacher, and then there was a travel to, I think we moved to New Zealand for a little while, and then there was COVID, and somehow I got out of offering retreats. And this year I thought, okay, in Europe I want to offer some really good retreats with some good collaborators, and we already did one in Austria and one in Sweden and also one in Berlin, one of them with Mayan elder Isaias, who's also
Oh,
from Lake
wow.
Atitlan, was really beautiful. And we have the last one now for this year coming in Ireland in the middle of September. It's we call it the New Earth Retreat. So it's an immersion for light workers, for those who feel called to really embody their purpose and to also discover maybe
Wow. This
and
is,
give.
it's very beautiful. I wish I would be closer to my home. And to all the listeners, this retreat is probably gonna be completed while this episode will be out, so you will hear all the feedback. But it's really, it resonated with me so much, and I saw you are planning to bring other teachers and collate all the medicine so people can really dive deeper into their gifts.
So this one will happen, I'm sure, annually in Ireland. This New Earth immersion, I'm very passionate about it. Also, the inner child retreat in Sweden that we did will happen again in July. And we will also hold a retreat in Guatemala, Nina Medicina and myself, for the inner children. So if that's of interest,
Nice.
then you can check my website.
So when is the one in Guatemala you planning? So you're going
The
back to
end.
Guatemala, I guess.
Yes, exactly. I'm going
Yeah.
after Christmas. So this time I will stay a little bit longer in Europe this year. That was the intention also, to spend
Yeah.
Christmas with my family. And then I will go for 3 months to Guatemala and support their Isaias and Walter, the Mayan shamans we have talked about in this episode, and also my Forest Path family, of course, and offer my own work. So I'm very excited to be back and for the first time
Oh.
again also offering a retreat there. I've done once, but it was more Kundalini yoga as well. That's many years ago. So I'm very excited to
Yeah.
offer a retreat in Guatemala again, and that will be happening the end of February.
End of February. Oh, that's beautiful. So I'm sure people will have a chance. So the bookings are available, or they are application based, or it's still
So they will find all the details on the website. So
on the
we are
website.
just pulling it all together, and then there usually is everything on the website. So you share it in your notes, right? It's
Yeah.
hamaima.com, and
Okay. That's beautiful. So I'm setting my intentions as well to come to Guatemala January, February or February, March, and hopefully, of course, we will connect
For
and
sure.
do some work together. And yeah, but we'll see. So thank you so much for sharing your beautiful energy, the insights of your journey, and the insights of the ceremony. I feel this is a word we need to spread more and more so people will find the simplicity in their lives, how to start incorporating that connection to their hearts. Because when you think about it, the mind creates the complicated situations most of the time. And of course, when we go through the challenging moments in life, we need our medicine most. We need that connection to our heart the most. So it's really for you to find what helps you to do so. What is your, I used to say, oh, practice, this must be done, blah, 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 but we each going through different stages in life, and what practice means to you might not mean the same for me. And, my practice is a prayer in the morning and a prayer before I go to bed. And I always thank the spirit guides, the elements, the fire, the cacao for helping me to be the best version of myself, helping to notice, the shifts when I make the choices not from the heart, noticing that and asking to give me the power, the strength to do the choices from the heart next day and honor what I did this day without judgment. So this is my practice, what I'm cultivating currently. When we're recording this episode, we only sailing for a month and a half, so it's still adaptation period. So of course, nervous system is really triggered with this new lifestyle, although it's magical at the same time, it's really, really challenging sometimes. So we noticing a lot of patterns, everything comes back to the surface. So it's really when the work, this connection, this power of the ceremony takes a deep, deep, part of my life personally at the moment, and noticing how it helps every day. And when I give the offerings to the water, to the fire, it kind of cuts the cord of the pattern and it just goes away. I don't know, it just does the magic. So yeah, thank you so much, Jemima. Thank you. It was so good to connect, and I'm sure everybody will enjoy this. I will put all your details to how we can find your beautiful offerings. My offerings, of course, you can find also on a website. And this is the invitation today to come and explore the ceremony. If you want to start working with cacao, start learning more about Mayan cosmovision. Matyosh Mayan Cacao Ceremonialist Apprenticeship is starting soon. And if there are still places available, you can find this spot and connect with me, and you will be able to connect with my teacher Tata Walter. He is a big part of this training, and with Jemima, which we're going to be sharing the ceremony. And that week we will be working on the voice activation of how we can heal those parts, so we can speak our truth, we can sing in a ceremony and just enjoy this beautiful life. Thank you, love.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And good luck for all your beautiful offerings that you will be sharing, and for this new phase in your life that you have embarked on sailing.
Hopefully. Thank you, love. Hopefully when this episode will be out, we still will be sailing.
I'm sure you will.
I'm sure. Yeah. Thank you so much, sister. And yeah, I'm sure people will find your offerings, and thank you everything you do to bring more light onto this planet Earth. Mm-hmm. We love you.
Oh, I love
so
you
much
too.
Love.
Matyosh.
Matyosh. Matyosh.